We're making our way through these 40 days to freedom, and every Sunday the Lord is offering us another key to open the door to freedom. The first key was repentance, because our primary slavery is not to anything outside us, but to sin. Jesus says, "Whoever sins is a slave to sin." But he opened the way for us to leave behind our sin, to repent, to begin a new life, especially in this time of Lent. Today he's offering us a second key, the key of forgiveness. If we want to walk in freedom, we have to forgive those who have wronged us. Because that bitterness we're clinging to, it's not harming the person who wronged us. It's harming us. Harboring resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. And maybe you know that. You know that resentment is poisoning your joy, but it's not that easy to let it go, is it? It's like we ask God to take it away, but when he comes to take it, we grip it more tightly than ever. Like when you throw a ball to your dog and they bring it back to you, and when you try to take it from their mouth, they clench it with their teeth. Well, that's what we do with our unforgiveness. God, take this from me. Here it is. And when he holds out his hand to take it, we lock our jaw and refuse to let it go. Because we think someone has to keep score, right? It's not right just to let it go as if nothing happened. But that's not how forgiveness works. God doesn't just brush sin away and pretend it never happened. He deals with it. He pays the highest price for it. Romans says, God did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all. And John says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes might not perish, but might have eternal life. Whatever injustice has been done to you, whoever's wronged you, God doesn't overlook that. He paid for it. He knows the evil done to you because he bore it in his body on the cross. He paid for it with an infinite sacrifice, an infinite act of love. It's that infinite love that shines forth on the mountain of transfiguration today, because the transfiguration is an anticipation of the cross. The gospel says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. What is that light that shines forth from Christ on Mount Tabor? It's the light of infinite love, the anticipation of the infinite love poured out on the cross. The connection between the cross and the transfiguration is undeniable. Just before going up the mountain, Jesus explained to the disciples for the first time that he would have to suffer greatly and be rejected and killed. And there on the mountain, when he conversed with Moses and Elijah, he spoke to them about the Passover he was going to accomplish. That is to say, his passage through death to eternal life. So the light that shines forth on Tabor is the light of his infinite mercy, which floods forth on the cross. On the cross, his heart was crushed like a grape, and the wine of God's infinite mercy came gushing out. Jesus went up the mountain so that the light of his mercy could shine forth over the whole world. When that light finds you, you will be free to forgive. That's what happened to Ben-Hur. The movie Ben-Hur tells the story of a Jewish prince living in Jerusalem during the life of Christ. As a young man, his best friend Messala left to pursue a career with the Roman legion. The Romans, of course, were their oppressors. When Messala returned, the two had grown apart and became bitter rivals. Messala wrongly blamed Judah for an accident, and Judah was condemned to row as a slave in a Roman warship. For several years, this prince rowed in miserable conditions, and all the while, hatred was brooding in his heart. His captain once said to him, "Your eyes are full of hate." That's good. Hate keeps a man alive. It gives him strength. With the return of events, he gained his freedom and finally returned to Jerusalem, consumed with a desire for vengeance. But in Jerusalem, he began to hear of a rabbi, Jesus, a miracle worker. When he went to see him, he was already being condemned to death. He saw him carrying his cross through the streets. He saw him fall. he heard him cry out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Later, Ben-Hur told the woman he loved, "When I heard his cry, I felt his voice take the sword out of my hand. I felt his voice take the sword out of my hand." Are you gripping a sword? Are you holding on to unforgiveness? Let the light of the transfiguration fall upon you. Let the sword fall from your hand. This week, I want to invite you to go up the mountain and stretch out your hands in the form of a cross and forgive everyone. Go to the highest place you can find. Take the elevator to the top of the Washington Monument and look out over the city. Stretch out your arms and let the light of His mercy pour out on everyone who misunderstands you, everyone who has harmed you, or your family, or your race, your political enemies, your intellectual enemies. Or go to the mountain of your room and close your door and kneel and stretch out your hands and forgive your parents and your siblings and those who bullied you and the friends who betrayed you and the person who wounded you. Let the light of God's infinite love break forth from your heart. And when you do, you will be free.